The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Taxes Show.
I'm the announcer, and I've known Eric since he was a big nobody.
In fact, I'm one of the people he stepped on as he climbed the ladder of success.
And now my former friend, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. You're guessing I'm Eric Metaxas? You're right. We found that the rights to the title, the Eric Metaxas Show, were not taken. So I changed my name to Eric Metaxas. We grabbed it, and this is the show. And on this program, I get to interview people that I like. I get to interview people that I don't like. I get to interview people that I know. And I also get to interview some people that I don't know. Today, I'm speaking to two people who are out and out enemies of me and everything I stand for. You may know them, Kevin and Sam Sorbo. Welcome to the program.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having us back on again.
Yeah, we're pro-humor.
Now, you guys are famous because, Kevin, a lot of the younger people won't know this, but you, in the TV series The Incredible Hulk, you played the role of Lou Ferrigno, and that was just unbelievable. You looked just like him with the makeup and stuff, and Dr. Bruce Bannister, and I just have to say, working with the man who was involved in the courtship of Eddie's father in his second big series, obviously talking about Bill Bixby, really amazing that you were able to pull that off. And people still confuse you with Lou Ferrigno. And Sam, you're really famous for a lot of things. You're big in the homeschool movement, and I've had you on this program just talking about education. And so a lot of people will be familiar with you. But most people know you, Kevin, because any film, when they say it's a Christian film, legally you're obliged to make an appearance in that film. So people often know you from those films. Am I right?
It's very, very true. And actually, Babylon Bee came out last week saying that I will be in every movie even after I pass away. They're going to put me in every movie forever that has anything to do with faith-based content.
Yeah.
I suspect that they got that joke from me. I suspect, because I've been spreading that canard.
Yeah, it's part of the Oscars.
Now. Yes, of course. So you both are familiar to many people in my audience. But what I love is that as I've gotten to know you and other people who appear in front of the camera, you know, we begin to realize that you get behind the camera, that you begin to have the ability to produce things and whatever. And because both of you come from conservative Christian outlook on the world, you've been involved in producing some really important film. So I was hoping we can talk about some of the new ones today. What is the one that has been out for a while on Amazon Prime, Before the Wrath? Tell us about that one.
Before the Wrath is a pretty interesting movie. It actually debuted number one on Amazon for the first 2 weeks out. It's now still a number one Christian movie overall on streaming. And it deals with the book of Revelation. It's quite fascinating because they marry it with scientists and people that talk about the book of Revelation with actual actors going back 2,000 years during that time. And they got a double story going on there about a wedding. And I think people need to go online and check this out. It's pretty educational.
I got to tell you, people are coming up to me and saying, wow, that movie that your husband did, I'm telling all my friends to watch it. Mm-hmm. Before the Wrath. They have to watch it. They love this movie.
So they can go to beforetherap.com and they can get all kinds of information on it right now. They can see a trailer and then they can download the streaming as well.
Okay, beforetherap.com. And so, but you're saying that's also available on Amazon Prime. People can view it on Amazon Prime.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So that's been out for months, and obviously it's doing very well. Before the Wrath, beforetherath.com, folks, if you want to see the trailer, go there. But what are some of the new movies? There are three movies that I wanted to talk to you about. What should we talk about first that you guys are involved in?
Well, there's a movie Sam and I did together, written by Dan Gordon. It's called Miracle in East Texas. We're hoping to have it in theaters this summer, but of course, there's no movie theaters open because we can't stand next to each other. So it's going to come out next year, and it's a wonderful movie based in a true story set in 1930, and I directed it as well. I'm in it with John Ratzenberger, Lou Gossett Jr., Tyler Mayne, and my lovely wife, Sam, who does an amazing job in it, and it was a fantastic movie. We won all kinds of awards at film festivals, everything from Best Faith-Based Film to Best Romantic Comedy. They can't pigeonhole it, which I love. So that'll be out in next year when they decide to open up a few more theaters.
Wow, you got an amazing cast there. I noticed you couldn't land me for a role in that, and that's because I've got agents that they're just going to demand stuff, and if you can't come up to that bar, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Okay, let's talk about stuff people can go to now.
Right now, you can go September 24th. You can go to right now, climatehustle2.com. Climatehustle2.com. September 24th is when they're going to release it. It is the other side of the issue, which is going to totally endear me to all the people in Hollywood even more, where we show that the whole climate change and global warming movement might not be as quite as factual as the left wants you to believe.
So it's Climate Hustle 2. Now, is that spelled out 2 or the number 2?
The number 2.
Okay, and so climatehustle2.com.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun because it's some of it's poking fun and some of it's just, you know, these are the facts and some of it is, you know, these are not the facts. So people should really enjoy it.
So go ahead.
So you guys think the world ending in 12 years is a big joke, huh?
Well,
we have 12 years.
It was supposed to end in the year 2000. I know it was supposed to end in the year 2000, actually, what they talked about. But, you know, it's interesting because all these big A-list actors that are on that board for that, we show them physically getting in their private jets as they buzz around the world warning people. And then you got someone like President Obama that talks about the end of it, yet he buys a mansion right on the water. So he's not apparently worried about it at all.
Very interesting. Well, listen, you know that I love the work both of you do, and I'm just proud of you that you are you know using the platform God's given you to make these films. So, Climate Hustle 2, that's practically out now. I mean, I don't know when this will air what we're doing right now, but people need to check it out. ClimateHustle2.com, and is that a streaming service, or do they have to go to ClimateHustle2.com in order to see it?
No, it's going to be you can order online. All the information is right there on the website, and people can get their tickets right then and there and check it out. I know we're going to have an international distribution on that, and I think in other countries overseas, they're going to be able to actually physically go to movie theaters.
Isn't it funny that in order to tell the truth about something like this now, you're considered brave, courageous? I mean, Hollywood has become so monolithic ideologically. In other words, they're all about talking about diversity, but when it comes to ideology, they are so afraid to talk about, you know, something that might dissent from what the orthodoxy is among their peers. So I just want to say to both of you, thank you for being willing to throw your careers in the garbage for God's purposes.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, the truth is the most intolerant thing, right? And so the fact that they don't want a discussion really sort of points a finger at the lie, because the lie can't withstand the discussion. So if somebody refuses to have the discussion with you, any discussion, it's because they can't support their point of view. And you should be very suspect of people who can't support their point of view.
Well, I've said that many times, that as soon as somebody kind of tells you to shut up, or the argument is over, or science has already been decided, whenever they do that, you can be sure that they don't want to begin the actual conversation. In other words, they're basically saying the conversation, that's over, that's settled, because they're scared to death that you might ask them some questions they can't answer, or they may themselves be able to be forced to see that they are not being honest with themselves and with other people.
I think the greatest sort of comeback that I get from most people when we get in a sort of conversation is, you're wrong, and then they walk away.
Yes. Isn't that brilliant? Gosh, who said that first? I think it was Goethe. And they're just quoting him. We're going to be right back. I'm talking to the Sorbos. Don't go away. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Yes, I have the Sorbos, both of them, Kevin Sorbo and Sam Sorbo. You will remember Kevin Sorbo. He played the role of Johnny Weissmuller in all the old Tarzan movies. I don't know how you look so young. It's amazing. And, of course, your lovely fourth wife, is it? Sam Sorbo. Sam, are you number four? What is it?
Four's a charm.
Yeah, four is a charm. Well, the other ones weren't his soulmates.
I know.
That's my job. That's my job. No, I know your real story. Most people know your real story, and your love for each other and your marriage actually is so wonderful that I can joke about it. You guys are involved in a lot of stuff. People know you from being in front of the camera, and now increasingly behind the camera as your looks fade horribly. So let me talk to you. You just got to forgive me. This is my love language. You guys are making a lot of films. Stop it. You're making a lot of films. We talked about Before the Wrath, which is available on Amazon Prime. We talked about Climate Hustle 2, which people can go to climatehustle2.com. But you've got a film called The Return that's coming out this month. Can we talk about that one?
No, it's not The Return. The film I have coming out is Bleeding Blue Movie. Bleeding Blue Movie.
All right.
Which is a timely issue because of all the people wanting to fund all these police stations across the country. Bleeding Blue Movie is from a friend of both of ours, Kevin Jackson, that put it together. I narrate it. And it's not there to give a rah-rah armed police great. It's to give people a look at what police have to go through day in and day out. So people have a better understanding of how dangerous their job is. Instead of attacking them, every business has bad people in it. So there's a percentage of cops that are bad cops. The vast majority of them are good cops. And this is something I think everybody should see on both sides of their view of police and get a better education what police have to go through. BleedingBlueMovie.com. It's out right now.
BleedingBlueMovie.com. And so are you guys producers on these films? Because you're involved in so many different things.
I'm a producer with those as well. Yeah. But I'm also the guy that's either on camera or I narrate them. Sam, in terms of our movies that we're doing, she's definitely on the production side of it as well and the editing side of it. So we work pretty well as a good team on both sides of the camera.
Well, I'm glad to hear it since you're married. So I got to ask you the question everyone's wondering if they're now. This is a radio program principally, but a lot of people will watch this on TV or on YouTube, and they're going to be wondering why are the Sorbos sitting on stairs? Like, what has happened? What happened in your lives that you have to be seated together on stairs? Is there an explanation, or is this something you don't want to go into?
I like them. I think they're pretty, and it's an interesting backdrop. And so many people go for bookshelves and other things, and this just seemed like a nice switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, well, you're wrong. that was a quote from Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. He said that famously in 1802. You're wrong, and but anyway, he said it in German,
Goethe,
so we don't need to
Goethe
talk about that.
Actually said. Goethe actually said, the truth is a very narrow path and stupidity a never-ending jungle.
Did he really say that?
So put that, he did. You can put that in your pocket.
Say you're wrong in German because he didn't know how to say it.
Oh, nicht.
Oh, nicht.
Nicht? How about das war falsch?
Dummkopf.
I think if you say anything in German, it immediately evokes the Nazis at this point. Das war aber falsch. Okay, so I want to talk about bleedingbluemovie.com. Tell us more about it, just because right now the police, of course, are in the crosshairs of the radical left. It's a horror to think that sometimes they are literally in the crosshairs of the radical left, being targeted for assassination. One of the most horrifying things imaginable in a civilized country, in a free country. So talk about how you came to be involved with bleedingbluemovie.com.
Well, Kevin Jackson and I became friends through the years, and he just approached me after they had put it together and said, look, we need a narrating voice for this. And they loved my voice. So that's how I got the part. I mean, I learned a lot from watching this as well, because it's unbelievable. The statistics that come out of it, the people they talk to, the actual police officers, the body cams you're going to see and what they have to deal with. There's a very surprise twist in this as well, because you look at what's going on in Chicago, for instance, the final statistics from 2017, 4,100 shootings in Chicago. That's a dozen a day. I mean, 4,100 shootings in Chicago. How many involved the police officers? Less than 1%. So 99.2% of those shootings involved citizen on citizen, mostly black on black. Now, where's Black Lives Matter when it comes with that? As you know this as well, because I'm sure you've covered this many times. It's crazy what is going on out there and what people want to believe coming from the so-called mainstream media.
Well, Black Lives Matter is nothing. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I just want to throw something in here that we need to look at sort of the meta story here. What's actually going on? There is a group of people that have launched a concerted effort to destroy our police force. Well, what is our police force? Our police force are people who are dedicated to preserving life. They're people who are dedicated to preserving law and order, which is what? Our law and order comes from God. It comes from the Bible. It comes from the Ten Commandments. Make no mistake. That's where it comes from. Okay. So these people are against law and order and the Ten Commandments, because they're against the Bible and they're against God. What are police people? Police people are those who will lay down their lives for others. That is the closest emulation that we have to Jesus Christ in our culture today. So it is concertedly an attack against Christianity, and we have to recognize it as that. And what I love about this movie is they take you through what it means to be a cop, what it means to put your life on the line, to have people coming at you and attacking you. So I'll just say that Bleeding Blue is a way for you to understand how valuable these people are to our culture and our society. And, you know, they're not asking to be heroes. They're just they're doing a job, but it's a very important job. And it's something that we shouldn't just take so lightly, to think that it's a job just like any other job. I guess that's my point.
Well, it's a pretty important point. My cousin was a New York cop for 20 years. My uncle Joe was a New York City firefighter. Even his stories are unbelievable stories. What people go through when you think about a job, some people have they shuffle papers. Some people, everybody does something. But when you think about putting your life on the line for strangers, it strikes me that that's a different category. And, you know, when you said there's a concerted effort to knock the cops, that is clearly a very, very dark inflection point in a culture when a radical group of people actually targets, as we say, literally and figuratively, police officers. It's just a stunning moment for us to comprehend.
Well, think about it. They don't want law and order. That should tip you off to something. Hey, let's get rid of metal detectors. Why do you want to get rid of metal detectors? Do you want to bring a gun into the arena or what? On its face, we ought not to, beat around the bush. It is what it is. They're against law and order, and they're against Christianity is really what it comes down to.
And this leads us to what you were brought up earlier about the return.org. People can go there. That is September 25th, 26th. You were supposed to be part of it, but you're off to some foreign land to chase elves or something. So we will be there, part of that amazing, amazing weekend, which is really to hopefully bring back people to a religious, to a, to, it's about prayer. It's about positivity. What? Right.
Well, we're praying for the salvation of the nation because it's biblical. You know, if you'll turn your hearts towards God, he will forgive you. So that's what we're going to pray for this nation, because we've lost our way. We've lost our way. And, you know, I'll say one other thing about the cops. It's not just a job. It's a calling. It takes a special person who's willing to offer himself as a sacrifice. And that's the best emulation that we have of our Lord and Savior in our public square. And we ought not to take it for granted.
Well, I mean, that is what agape love is, right? It's to put others before oneself. Cops do that all the time. And I kind of think of even teachers, you know, used to think of it as a calling. It's not just a job. It's not just I'm with the teachers union. And it's very important that we talk about that. So the movie is bleedingbluemovie.com, bleedingbluemovie.com. More with Kevin and Sam Sorbo when we come back.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none.
Hi, folks. These uncertain times can cause uncertain gut slowdown. Worry and fear can wreak havoc on our digestion, making it hard to feel optimum. Bloating, less energy, and occasional constipation can slow you down in your daily activity. Try Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. Life Change Tea can help get things moving so you can get that boost of energy you need. Life Change Tea helps protect and defend your health from intruders. It's a weird time right now with all the uncertainty, so gear up and defend your health. Where do you go to purchase? Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. The specials are on the front page, and we have numerous supplements to help combat intruders. It's time to take charge of our health and to feel better in life. It's time to live. Again, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com. It is so worth it. Getthetea.com.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with My Pillow. You may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are, and I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to mypillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to my friends, Kevin and Sam Sorbo, who are sitting on stairs. We don't know why Sam made a decision, and we're just going to go with it. Sam, I just want to congratulate you for being willing to experiment at the expense of all of my viewers. Thank you so much. So listen, you guys, you're famous as people who make films and as people who appear in films and TV series, but you're also known as authors of books. I've written a lot of books, but I've never, for example, played Hercules. I know that's ahead, that God's calling on my life, but I haven't done it yet. You guys have written books, and I want to talk about the books, at least two of the books that you've written. So where do we start?
Where do we start? By the way, you don't hear Led Zeppelin in the background, but these are the Stairways to Heaven right here. This is where you got to go.
Unbelievable. I have to, I hate to break it to you, Kevin. I have to break it to you, but that's a works righteousness view of the scripture. That is wrong. That is false. Okay. You cannot climb your way through good works to heaven. The whole point of it is you're supposed to realize you can't do that. And you have to cry out to God. You have to come down and save me. And he did that 2000 years ago. I hate to tell you what you should already know, but that staircase is of the devil and I rebuke it. Okay, come on. You guys have written some wonderful books. Let's talk about your books.
Let's do this one.
There you go.
This is our newest one. It's called True Faith. Let's see if I can get it up there.
True Faith. Yeah, True Embracing, Faith. Okay.
Embracing adversity to live in God's light. And tell them about it.
Let me get a better angle on this. You go ahead.
Okay.
Well,
so
don't
Kevin
worry.
And I... So, that's fine. So Kevin wrote a book years ago called True Strength.
That's this one right here.
we've gone through some adversity, and
I think the microphone is in Kevin's ear, so he has to be leaning toward you in order for me to hear you better. Say it again. Go ahead.
True Strength is the story of Kevin's recovery from 3 strokes. It was a very arduous process. It took about 3 years.
Now, wait. I got to be clear. This is not like a golfing accident.
No.
When you say three strokes,
you're not like talking about losing to Joe Pesci, at the 18th hole. You're talking about literal medical strokes that the man who looks like the very picture of health, you're today's Jock LaLanne. You, sir, have had 3 strokes.
And I suffered them on the same day that Princess Di passed away back there in 1997. And yeah, it took me, had to learn how to walk again and balance myself again. And I still have a 10% loss of vision in both eyes. And it came on the heels of I had an aneurysm way up here in my left shoulder. So a long story of that. The book explains everything. And it was a long recovery for me. I went from a 14-hour workday in Hercules after a 4-month sort of a rehabilitation program to 1 hour a day until I could slowly work my way back up again. It took 3 years to fully recover, though.
So
I have to tell you, the idea that you... Well, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say, honestly, that is an amazing testimony that somebody like you, and I'm not joking, you seem the very picture of health and strength. To think that you, over 20 years ago, had 3 strokes, that's just a stunning thing that you were able to come back in the way that you did. Really, Kevin, that is amazing. And that book is True Strength. What year did that book come out?
2012. It took me a long time to want to write it. She forced me to write it. I didn't want to show the male ego. I didn't want to show how weak I had become playing the strongest man in the world. But she said the book would be very instrumental to help other people. And it's been amazing because I do speaking events all across the country now ever since the book came out. It opened a whole different door to me. And I've had people from all walks of life, from car crash survivors, cancer, heart attack, stroke, whatever it might be, saying my book has made them stop feeling sorry for themselves and made them push harder. Because true strength came from the fake strength I had in Hercules, throwing guys around 100 meters, to finding your own true strength when life throws a roadblock up. How do you react to that roadblock? I mean, I've been a man of faith my whole life, but I never needed faith, true faith, until this happened to me.
Unbelievable. So, Sam, you were just saying something. I interrupted you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, so based on that and based on the fact that as a couple we've gone through some trials – infertility for one and several other things, we decided to write True Faith, which is just sort of part of our journey and part of the struggles that we had as a way of encouraging people. Marriage is a challenge, and you have to be up to the challenge, and you have to work at it, and you're going to have trouble in this world. We were promised that. But there is always a way through, and God has the opportunity to redeem only through our struggles and our problems, right? So so it's sort of a celebration, and we wrote it together. It's called True Faith, Embracing Adversity to Live in God's Light. In fact, we should be triumphant in our adversity. Mm-hmm. We see with COVID now, COVID's been a tremendous challenge for everyone. And yet we're seeing people sort of rise to that challenge, and it's been an amazing thing. So I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing more.
Tell me where you can get the book.
More positive things. Well, the best thing is you can go to our websites, samsorbo.com and kevinsorbo.net, and find all of our books and even our movies there too.
I want to talk more about that when we come back, folks. I'm talking to the Sorbos. It's the Eric Metaxa Show. Don't go away.
Our love is a flame, burning within. Last night, you know, I couldn't sleep, wouldn't sleep.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Kevin and Sam Sorbo. Both of you have done so many things. It's always hard to know where to start or what to leave out. You know, you just mentioned that you have websites, kevinsorbo.net, samsorbo.com, and a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, people can find there. But I want to ask both of you, and maybe particularly you, Sam, what we're going through right now as a nation, when you see how public school, for example, has been hijacked by propagandists with an anti-American narrative. I've talked about that a lot. I wrote a book called If You Can Keep It. And I'm amazed at how bad it is, how far it's gone. You've been a proponent for some time of homeschooling. And I was wondering if you could just talk about that a little bit.
Well, in fact, in our class, the tutor brought your book in and covered part of what you talk about in If You Can Keep It. So there's a plug for your book as well, because we need more of that, right? But I think the most important thing that we have to understand is this hijacking has been happening for years and years. And COVID has done us, in a sense, an incredible favor, because now we are seeing behind the curtain. And for the longest time, we were Dorothy with the Wizard of Oz, thinking that the Wizard of Oz, our public school system, working feverishly behind the curtain, had some kind of magic, magic pill, magic solution for us in how we should educate our children. And in fact, the opposite is true. They've been educating our children away from our morals and values, especially as Judeo-Christians. And that's a dangerous thing, because then you have acrimony in your household, your authority is undermined, and everything that goes along with that. So I wrote this book a couple of years ago called They're Your Kids. It's available at samsorbo.com. And then I want to share with you my newer book, which is called Teach From Love. It's a school year devotional, because what I realized is, you know, we're not teaching virtue in our schools. We took the Bible out. Yeah. So what morals and principles are we teaching our children? I'll tell you what, survival of the fittest. And if you think that the rioting and the looting that we're seeing in the streets today is not a direct result of our public school system teaching children that survival of the fittest is the law of the land and that they are nothing but accidents of nature.
Well, Sam is right about what the public education has done to people, because that's the Wizard of Oz. They're the yellow brick road to socialism and liberalism. That's what they've been in, but it's been getting worse and worse every year.
Wow. How far can we push the Wizard of Oz metaphor here? It's gonna break down pretty soon. But I see the teachers union as the flying monkeys, if you don't mind my saying so. But the teachers union, they're the flying monkeys. And the Wicked Witch is.
I have to say this. So the teachers unions, especially, I know New York and California, they're saying, no, we're not going to go back to school until you defund the police. What are they going to do about school shootings then? I mean, let's face it. Here's what's fascinating, Eric, is that now I'm on the side of the teachers unions because I don't want kids back in public school.
Well, but it's very, I mean, it's funny, it's ironic, it's tragic, it's a lot of things. The fact of the matter is that, you know, God can work all things together for good. And the horror of this COVID situation has, in fact, woken a lot of people up to some things to which they were clearly sleeping, which is, you know, what is happening to my kids on a daily basis? What are they doing? What are they learning? And I know for a fact that tons of kids are not going to go back to the colleges where they were going before. They're not going to go back to the high schools they were going before. There's a shift happening. Once you have a choice, once you're forced to look at the other side, good things can come out of that. And I really think that for the Democrats, for example, to be against school choice, it is one of the most wicked things you could do against minority communities. If you believe Black Lives Matter and you are not for school choice, you're an obvious hypocrite, and they are obvious hypocrites. I mean, if you only want to know one reason to vote against the Democrat ticket, it's on this issue. If you care about young minorities in urban communities having no choice but to be sent to a school that is, you know, not much better than a juvenile detention center, you know, that's all we need to know. And you, Sam, you've been a proponent of this for a long time. And when you just talked about virtue, I mean, that's the key. How do you teach kids without getting into the subject of what's right and wrong, what virtue is, how virtue is at the very heart of our democracy, how the founders understood virtue needs to be taught? If you're not doing that, you're not doing anything.
And let me just say, I don't go after teachers. We're talking about teachers' unions and we're talking about the system. The teachers, I think, are sort of caught in this. It's like going after all cops. Don't be ridiculous. That's not, that, it's not appropriate, right? So I encourage teachers, especially now, hang out a shingle, become an entrepreneur, teach other people's children, but give them oversight into what their children are learning. And why not do that? What a great idea that parents would be involved in the education of their children to an extent where the children keep the respect for the parent, right? So that's what I encourage of teachers these days.
That, listen, that is absolutely brilliant. Let's underscore that. You just said, obviously, we don't want to demonize teachers. They're heroes, but they're caught, as you said. Teachers' unions are at this point nothing but a self-serving arm of the worst, most dramatically liberal part of the Democratic Party. They don't care about kids. Teachers have options. When we come back, we've got a final segment. But let me say now, before that, what you just said, Sam, that teachers can be entrepreneurs. They can say in a community, I'm here to teach. I can teach this. I can teach that. And I want to be here for you parents, because that's what schools are supposed to be. Public schools are supposed to be. We pay taxes and then they do for our kids what we can't do because we're busy doing other jobs. That has not been happening. I know I left you speechless because I said it all.
I thought you were breaking.
You said we were going to a break.
No, I know. I fainted in that direction. But we are going to go to a break. But let me simply say again that people can find you both and contact you on these various issues at samsorbo.com and kevinsorbo.net.
Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be. La, la, la,
la, la. Hey there, folks. We are talking right now to Kevin and Sam Sorbo. Just got a few minutes left. For some reason, they're sitting on a staircase. It seems theologically suspect. Nevertheless, here we are. Okay, you guys, you were talking, Sam, about you have a lot of homeschooling videos at your website, resources for people who are beginning to think about this, samsorbo.com. So what can people find there?
Well, I've just done just a ton of videos. I did a whole series, for instance, on homeschooling is easy. It's parenting that's hard. Because what I've discovered is, you know, the parents who are bringing their kids home and saying, okay, I'm going to tackle this, they have a problem with the authority issue. Because the kids have been told since they were very little that the school has the authority, and the parents' authority in the home was completely undermined by that. And that's the system's fault. I don't blame individuals for these kinds of things, but the parents didn't understand that that's what was happening. Now the kids are home and they're sort of rolling their eyes at their parents and saying, why are you making me do this? And so I did a whole series of videos on that. They're just short videos just to inspire you as a parent and to empower you and to show you some things that you might not be aware of. You know, we all went to public school. And so we were all educated to think that education happens within four walls with a teacher standing at a blackboard. Nothing could be farther from the truth, frankly. Education happens up here, and it happens all the time, no matter where you are, if you open your mind to being educated. And so what we really want to do is inspire our children to seek education. The great news is they're already inspired. Children are naturally curious. But do you remember when you graduated from a high school and you were like, oh, I hope I never have to crack another book again? That's because the school system told you that education was hard and annoying and frustrating. And it's not. It's actually inspirational and it's exciting. And so that's what we want to give our children as a gift that a parent can give a child, is to inspire them to pursue their dreams and to seek truth and beauty.
You know, it's funny you say that, because in doing research on some of the books that I have written, there have been so many moments as I have been researching, and now with the internet, it makes it that much easier. Just to learn and to go, you know, to follow your nose and say, well, you know, I never heard about that. What was that again? And then to look into it and to begin to put pieces together and to begin to learn that way. It's a wonderful thing. And if we can help kids to see that they can do that for the rest of their lives, it doesn't end when you graduate. God forbid that it ends when you graduate. We've just got a minute left. I want to remind people that you have a number of films out. Climate Hustle 2, there's a website, climatehustle2.com, bleedingbluemovie.com, and then on Amazon Prime, Before the Wrath, which also you have a website, beforethewrath.com, if people want to see a trailer. What are you working on right now? Is there a new project that you're working on?
You know, I got a lot of stuff in the fires right now. It really comes down to frustration. $100 million at a movie, right? They can do an Avatar or a Pirates of the Caribbean. They threw another $100 million at it to promote it. We do these small independent movies. I get stopped all the time now, because not because of Hercules or Andromeda. I get stopped because of God's Not Dead, Let There Be Light, Abel's Field. People say, make more movies like that. Well, we need people to support these movies. And just like anybody else, we're always looking for funding for these movies. These are slower budget movies. And we have good messages. You look what Hollywood's putting out. Cuties, things like that. We put out movies that have a good message about a faith and love and hope and redemption. I hope people will keep supporting these movies that we do.
And if you want to, you can go to SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com and sign up for the email, because we don't know how long we're going to be on Facebook. Kevin's been in Facebook jail a few times already, and Twitter and all of those other forms of communication. So go to SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com and sign up for our newsletters. And get on our
email. Try to stop posting the truth, but they hate it.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, guys, God bless you. Thank you for your time. This is terrific.